We want to hear from Nate Mueller, senior editor from therumbleseat.com. He was there at the Georgia Tech spring game last night. Had a chance to talk to him a couple hours ago, and I asked him if there were any surprises at the Georgia Tech spring game.
Not so much surprises. Spring games, I think, in general, aren't really full of surprises because, you know, one, you know, it's your team playing against itself. You can't really gather anything major from it. You always got to take it with a grain of salt. But the two biggest things we did see were the proficient performance, I guess you could say, by Vab Lee. Very, very high energy. The first two drives were basically all him. He had 62 yards rushing. And he, you know, he got the fans excited. There was a kid, you know, that was sitting next to me before the game saying, you know, where's Vab? I want to see Vab. Where's number two? You know, is he coming out? When's he coming out? He was real pumped up about it. I think that's really the feeling of the general fan base. So we did see that and kind of get a good confirmation of what we might see during the season, or a good preview of things yet seen. And then the other thing was the surprising, I don't want to say dominance, but extremely hard and great performance by the defense. They, the first team defense went out and smacked the offense around. The gold team, which was the first team defense and the second team offense, gained 299 yards rushing to the white teams, which was the first team offenses, 157. And the defensive line in particular got a lot of penetration. Vab Lee was on the run a lot of the time. So those are the two biggest takeaways for me from this game.
And so people look at the box score in the morning and they'll see, you know, Vab Lee, 4 of 11 for 34 yards and an interception. Obviously, in the option attack, that really doesn't tell the story. Talk about the depth at quarterback that we saw Friday night, because, again, you're always just an injury away.
Yeah. I think people were encouraged. Justin Thomas did pretty well. He was only 3 for 7 for 38 yards, but he was shifty, he was quick, and that's really about all you can ask from a kid his age at this point. And he looked very proficient running the option. He made a lot of good pitches, you know, a lot of good decisions. He put the ball on the ground a lot, but again, young quarterbacks in the option, that's always a problem. Ever since Paul Johnson has been at Georgia Tech, we've seen that. So that doesn't worry me too much. It might worry some folks because I don't have an official count, but I think we put the ball on the ground 8 or 9 times tonight. So, again, but like I said, young teams, or real quarterbacks especially, that's a big problem. And the starting center is out. So that's where some of that Lee's troubles came from. I know at least one of his fumbles was trouble on the snap.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Matt Holmes talking with Nate Mueller, senior editor from therumbleseat.com, Georgia Tech fan site. Nate, talk to me about the crowd. 5,000 fans out there at Bobby Dodd Stadium Friday night on, you know, what had been a rainy night, temperatures in the mid-40s. They had to, I guess, cancel pre- and post-game festivities they were supposed to have for the fans. With all that considered on a Friday night, 5,000 isn't bad.
Yeah, it's not that bad. I was pleasantly surprised. You know, the fans report was pretty enthusiastic. I was talking to everyone around me about, you know, the game and the players. Everyone knew, you know, the players by number because there were no names on the back of jerseys this evening. And everyone was really into it. It was quite refreshing to see, especially from someone who's been sitting in the student section, you know, recently leaving Georgia Tech, where sometimes the support can be less than enthusiastic. It was really refreshing to see a lot of people passionate and involved. But I think the biggest reason for the numbers drop was that all of the family-centric activities were canceled. And I think that's where a large portion of the crowd, the 18,000-plus crowd, came from last year, with a lot of families. And you don't want to take your kids out in the, you know, 40-degree cold to watch a basically glorified practice, so I can understand why folks wanted to stay home. But it was a great, passionate crowd. I enjoyed myself.
Did they give any reason for having it on a Friday night? I know, you know, my alma mater, University of Maryland, they had theirs last Friday night and only had a couple thousand fans show up. Meanwhile, you got, you know, SEC schools, Big 12 schools, obviously, having theirs on Saturday afternoons. Obviously, those schools will get bigger crowds, but it would seem like Saturday afternoon would be a bigger draw.
You know, it might seem that way, but they wanted to really turn this into an event, a marketable event where it's Saturday, you know, all the other scrimmages are on Saturday. They wanted to really set this, or all the, during spring practice, that is, they wanted to set this one apart and make it a real big, you know, hullabaloo, so to speak. You know, something that you can bring, like I said, the family to, something that is really, it's a carnival, I mean, almost outside the stadium beforehand. It was last year, and it was supposed to be this year, obviously. The rain kind of ruins that. But I feel like the Friday night is a lot more of a, I don't want to say party, because it's not, you know, a big party, but it's a more festive atmosphere. So I think that's why they wanted to concentrate on that, so they could count on that draw to increase fan turnout.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Matt Holmes talking with Nate Mueller from TheRumbleSeat.com. Let's get to the million-dollar question. Paul Johnson, big season for him, kind of a make-or-break season. What are the expectations? What does this team have to do to save Paul Johnson's job?
Most of the fans I've been talking to say 8 or 9 games, depending on, you know, obviously who you're talking to, but I'd say 9 games is the minimum, or 9 wins, excuse me, is the minimum to keep all of the headhunters at bay. But I think if this team does not reach 9 wins, then we're going to have a serious issue on our hands. And Babinski is going to have, he might not have a choice to make, but he's going to have a lot of pressure on him to make a choice. Let's just put it that way.
You mentioned Mike Babinski, the new athletic director. Obviously, he comes from a basketball school at Xavier. Big ties to basketball, being the chairman of the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee. So he's a basketball guy, ostensibly. And here he is with a big football decision to make. You talked about if they don't make it to 9 wins. Has he talked at all? Has Paul Johnson talked about at all about the pressure that they face in this upcoming season and that decision that Babinski might have to face?
It was briefly addressed in Mike Babinski's introductory this was at the signing day, National Signing Day press conference. It was briefly addressed, but Paul Johnson didn't really speak to it. He sort of dismissed it outright. You know, he said, "I'm worried about winning our first game." You know, typical coach speak sort of thing. And Babinski was similarly dismissive when asked about it at his introductory press conference. You know, it was a veiled question. It wasn't outright, you know, "What are your expectations for Paul Johnson?" or whatever. But it was, he said, you know, "We've got to focus on, you know, building a tradition," more or less. So I do know he expects greatness. And you said something about, pardon me, the decision, you know, he's a basketball guy, doesn't really have experience making football decisions. I don't think it comes down to that. I think it just comes down to having experience making decisions, period. And Babinski is clearly a proven leader, excellent decision maker, great fundraiser for Notre Dame and Xavier, and he hired what sticks out my mind most in his decision making is that he hired the current basketball coaches at Arizona and Ohio State.
Yeah, Thad Matta and Sean Miller, of course.
Yeah. And to me, that speaks more than anything to his ability to make a decision under fire and when the pressure's on. So I think he'll make the right choice.
Getting back on the football field, did we see any impact freshmen on the field there at the spring practice, or are there any recruits coming in the fall that fans really need to look out for that might be able to make an impression for this team as the year goes on?
Speaking of recruits, we saw quite a few there. I can't name them. One, because I didn't know who they were. I could just identify them as recruits. There was a whole football team there, and there was quite a few other kids that had special tags around their neck, field access, you know, sort of thing. But as far as players on the field, Adam Gotchus, I know he's not a freshman, but he's going to be huge. I mean, he plays low, he plays fast. He keeps his body at a 90-degree angle and just motors on in there. That kid is going to be something else on the football field. Francis Kalen also got to run with the first team, and he needs to work on his pad level a little bit. He popped up high. He almost looked like an offensive lineman going into pass coverage, pass protection some of the time. But they, those two, I think, can be real impact players. Also, Patrick Gamble. He's huge. Him and Kalen dwarf. But make the other guys look small. And that's no easy task with defensive linemen. So I think those are going to be some of the guys that are going to be the biggest impacts and the most watched.
Finally, wrapping up here with Nate Mueller, senior editor from TheRumbleSeat.com. Maybe the guy who had the biggest offseason, Ted Roof, new defensive coordinator at Georgia Tech. it was just a disaster defensively last year under Al Groh and under the interims that followed him after he got canned. So Ted Roof comes in kind of starting from scratch. You talked about how the defense played so well in the scrimmage. Talk about Ted Roof and how he's kind of changing the face of that defense there at Georgia Tech.
Well, when he first came to the school, rather when the press first got an opportunity to speak with him, I think it was 3 weeks after he was hired, the thing he harped on the most was aggressiveness. I mean, that's the hallmark of his defenses. I watched some tape of his guys at Penn State this past year before the press conference, and it was clear to me, that's what he focuses on, and it showed today. The tackling was much better. I mean, worlds better than I've seen at Georgia Tech in a while. That's saying something, because it was just so bad. I mean, it was the biggest problem that this football team had. So that's something he's really improved, and fans can be excited about. And you know, I think when you improve something that fundamental, that quickly, that much, it's a really good sign. And I'm really excited about Ted Roof and what he can do for this team.
All right, Nate Mueller, we're excited to have you. FromTheRumbleSeat.com is the website for all things Georgia Tech athletics. Nate, appreciate the time.
Thank you, Matt.